Sitting down. Good. Told us twice to stand up. All right, go back with me to Acts 24. Brother John Sheasley read Ephesians 1 tonight, and that blessed me so much. And same old scriptures that we've been hearing for years and never tire of. And all that you'll hear tonight, you've heard before, but truth you rejoice in. Let's read verses 10 through 16 again. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know, you've been many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Because you may understand, there are yet 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. They neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess. This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Called, chosen, sent by God. True man of God who spoke the truth of God. And yet he was hated, he was reviled, he was persecuted. And all manner of evil was spoken against him for the truth's sake. Just as the Lord said it would be. As they persecuted the prophets before him, so they persecuted him now. They said of Elijah, long before Paul, they said of Elijah, he's one that troubleth Israel. And that's what they brought against Paul at this time and all the apostles. They trouble Israel. Well, since God hasn't changed and the truth hasn't changed, man certainly hasn't changed, has he? He still hates God. It's still true today that the man who preaches, who declares, who simply declares what God said about himself, true and living God, truth of God, God is God, truth about man, that he's not God. He's worthless, helpless, hopeless. The truth of salvation, that it's in Christ and Christ alone from start to finish. That man will be hated and persecuted and maligned today for the truth's sake. But he is not a troubler of the people. He's actually the best friend they ever had. And as it is with the preacher, so it is with every believer, every disciple, whoever, man or woman or young person who believes and confesses the same through God and his Christ, will be hated and persecuted. Because when the true God is exalted, man's enmity comes out. Where there is truth, there is persecution. If there's no persecution, there's no truth. Well, so be it. Can you say that? So be it. And we say with Peter, Simon Peter of old, who was threatened by his accuser, they said, "Don't you dare speak that name anymore. Don't go out preaching this anymore." And he said, "We cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard." And he said, "You tell us, should we obey you or God?" So we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. And we must confess. And I ask you, I want you to examine yourself. Is not this your confession? What Paul said here. I must confess before this untoward generation that after the way which they call heresy, that's who and what I worship. The way they call heresy. Now, because, and I was going to have you turn to Isaiah 59, but you don't have to. It's you've heard it before. But it says over there the truth is fallen in the street and cannot enter. They won't have it. Men won't have it. Truth faileth. He that departeth from evil. We talked about them lying against the Lord. Lying on God. Says they conceive and utter words of falsehood about God, about Christ, about man, and so forth, about salvation. And that's what they want to hear. But he that departeth from that, he becomes a prey, or that is, he's the one that they go after. He's the one they all hate. About like that blind man, you know, in John chapter 9. They liked him just fine till he started... that he started confessing Christ. They preferred him blind, didn't they? And man believes a lie. He loves a lie, Scripture said. And the fact is that now the truth, God's Word, the truth, is called heresy. And man now calls good evil, and evil good. And man now calls what is the doctrine of Christ the doctrine of devils. Nothing. And they call what they have made up, which is the doctrine of devils, they call that the truth. And it's so strange. The truth is so strange now. And the unknown God, God of the Bible, that men don't know, is a strange God to this generation. But I must confess that this strange God is the God I worship. And this strange doctrine that they attribute to Calvin, he didn't start it. That this is how I worship. We confess the God, look at our text, says, Paul said, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, Jehovah. Jehovah. There is no other God. There is no other God. All the gods of the people are idols, made up, man-made God. The gods of the God of the Muslims is a idol. God of the Hindus, they're certainly idols. God of the Roman Catholics, all their gods and saints are idols. God of the Methodists are idols. Southern Baptists, they're all idols. There are no gods at all. But now the God of our fathers, here he is. And I'm just going to quote scripture after scripture to you. Okay? The God of our fathers, Moses' God, that is. God of our fathers. Moses' God. Daniel's God, he is God. Moses' God is God. God of gods. Even that pagan king had to say, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods. Nebuchadnezzar said it, didn't he? Daniel's God is God. Our God, the God of our fathers, the one whom we worship, All this the Scripture says of him that they call heresy, this is what we believe. We believe the God who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. His own will. We believe He doeth according to His will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He does according to His will. We believe and worship the God who declares the end from the beginning, things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Our God, far from standing outside our heart's door, is in the heavens. And He hath done, and is doing, and shall ever do whatsoever He hath pleased. They call that heresy, don't they? Our God will work. And who's going to let Him? That's our God. Our God is the one in whose hands the king's heart is, like the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever He will. Heart of man. Our God is the one in whose hands our breath is. He giveth it, He withholdeth it at His will, and all our ways. Our God is the one who purposed all things before the world began. Yes, known unto Him are all of His works from the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world. And He predestined all things, all people, all events, according to that eternal purpose, ordered in all things, and it's sure. And our God is so holy. This God is so holy that the Son is not pure. And He charges His angels with folly. He is first and foremost and principally and preeminently holy. That's His chief attribute. And all other attributes are found under that. This is our God. They call it heresy. He's not that holy. Yes, He is. Our God is how holy? A consuming fire. Dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Our God is the one who will by no means clear the guilty, who will punish sin, who is the God of Malachi, the God of judgment. Our God changeth not. They call this heresy, but this is who I worship. Our God is love. Yes, He is. But it's not what they say. It's not what they say. Our God loves sovereignly. He loves whom He's purposed to love. He loves whom He will, who He willed to love. And whoever He willed to love or set His love upon before the world began, that's when He did it. He loves them forever with an everlasting love. And that love is sovereign and it's powerful. It is a saving love. Whoever He loves, He saves. That's real love, isn't it? And whomever He loves eternally. He never stops loving. Since our God is love, and love never faileth, His love won't fail. That's our God. Our God is merciful. Yes, He is. He is merciful. But it's His sovereign right to show mercy to whom He will show mercy. Mercy, by definition, means not getting what we deserve. Therefore, it is of necessity it be sovereign. His mercy is sovereign. He is merciful to whom He will. But He is merciful. Our God is gracious. Infinitely, wonderfully, amazingly gracious. The God of all grace. But once again, it's His divine prerogative and right as God to be gracious to whom He will be gracious. It's infinite grace that He's gracious to one. But He is gracious, infinitely gracious. Our God is the one who saves all whom He chose, whom He elected and purposed to save before the foundation of the world. and gave to His Son, who is the Christ, who is the Redeemer, to come to this world and redeem them. And He did this electing, this choosing of these people before the children were born, before they had done any good or evil, that the purpose of this God, according to election, must stand. Before the world began. And He wrote every one of those names of those whom He had chosen, a people that no man can number, but He has them numbered. Their names were written in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And that book was sealed up, John. Sealed up. Not to be opened until the end of time. And when He opens that book, every name will be in there. Not one missing. All the children that God chose. And I must confess that this is the God that I worship. How about you? The way they call heresy. And verse 14 says, believing, I believe all things which are written in the law and in the prophet. I say with David of old, in Psalm 119, 128, I believe it is, he said, I esteem all thy precepts, speaking to his God in prayer and pray. He said, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And therefore, I hate every false way. I hate everything that goes against it. I hate everything that's contrary to it. I hate everything that twists this and perverts it. I hate it, he said. And I say with him that let God be true. Everything he says, I believe, is true. And everything man says is a lie. I believe it is God, as God said in Isaiah 8, he said, to the law and to the testimony, whoever it be, though it be an angel from heaven, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this book, this word, there's no light in them. God didn't send them. The law and the testimony, in the volume of the book, it says that he believed all things written in the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, in the volume of the book, it is written of one person, chiefly, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's concerning, in the law and the prophet, the things concerning Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Malachi, Genesis to Revelation, this book is about Christ, who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, author and the finisher. To him give all the prophets witness. They are they which testify of him. That God was manifest in the flesh. The same God that I've been describing walked this planet. I was accosted by four of those Russellites the other day. Four women pulled up in a car. They called themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. You need to quit calling them that. They're Russellites. They follow this man who started the whole thing named Charles Russell, I believe his name. And I was accosted by four of them. They pulled up in my driveway. And when I found out who they were, I began to immediately tell them, I believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and you do not, therefore you are anti-Christ. And you should have seen their four sets of eyes look at me. And they handed me their little pamphlet, you know, with their idolatry all over it, you know, and a graven image on the front of it. And I ripped it up and threw it back in their face. And I began to tell them who Jesus Christ was as much as I could from God's Word. And all they could do was argue. Call it heresy. That's the way they call heresy. They believe he's just a man. One of them said, well, who made Jesus? Somebody made Jesus, didn't they? Well, after the way they call heresy, this is what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ called his name, and I quoted this to them, and they, like water off a duck's back. called his name the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Before Abraham was, I am. This God was manifest in the flesh. I believe Jesus Christ is very God of very God, Emmanuel, God with us, the same God who was in the beginning, by whom all things were created, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Don't you? If He's not, He's the biggest imposter to ever live. If He's not, we're idolaters. We worship Him. If He's not, we're yet in our sins. He said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. Only God can forgive sins, right? Right. Jesus Christ is God. He is that God and who came to earth, of whom Isaiah wrote, it'll be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited on Him. He'll save us. I told those ladies, I said, Christ is Jehovah, our shepherd. He said that. I am the Lord, the shepherd of the sheep. He came, Christ came to do the will of God. I don't understand this completely, but I believe it. That though He was God, yet He became a man, manifest in the flesh. He came to earth to do the will of God, glorify God as a man. He came with a mission to accomplish.
And He did.
He did that work. I love that in Isaiah 59. You want to read it sometime for yourself. If you go on to read, it says in verses 16 through 18, it says, God saw there was no man, a bunch of liars and so forth. It says, so His arm brought salvation unto Him. It says, He put on righteousness as a breastplate. He put on the garments of vengeance. He saw there's no man who's going to glorify Him. No man. So God became a man. Came to do the work Himself. To fulfill His own law. Oh yeah, when Christ came down here, He, like the judge of the earth that He is, they brought in a woman guilty of breaking Moses' law, they said. It's Moses' law. No, they brought her to the one who wrote the law, who gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai that day. Boy, she was blessed, wasn't she? And they said, what do you say? And He said, freely, complete of His own will, right there before them all, without any regard to what that law said right there. He said, she's clear of all charges. With a word, He justified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's right. And God was standing there and He said, no, there's no accusers. Neither do I condemn them. He came to fulfill His own law, the law He wrote. He came to establish a perfect righteousness. Holiness as a man. For some people, not all. For those He'd chosen before the world began. Those whose names He had in His book, He also had, Scripture says, written on the palms of His hands. I love that passage, don't you? He had them written on the breastplate, that is His heart, like the priest of old. But He had them on the, said, I've engraved thee on the palms of my hands. And this was Jehovah Jireh, of whom Abraham and Isaac rejoiced coming down the mountain that day, Mount Moriah. Well, when they were headed up, it was Isaac who asked his father, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham uttered those great, wonderful words. He said, my son, God, Jehovah God, will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Yes, He did. God Himself was that lamb. The church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Church of God, whom God redeemed, came to redeem for Himself. Jehovah Jireh, that's who Christ is, the Lamb of God. And He went to Calvary's cross to die as a substitute for His people. Not all. They call this heresy. But this is what I confess, that everyone whom Jesus Christ went to Calvary's tree to pay for their sins, He actually paid for. He put them away by the sacrifice of Himself on Calvary's tree. He actually obtained eternal redemption for His people forever. He paid the price in full. And there's not one charge laid to one of His people, because Christ paid it all. He nailed the handwritten of ordinances that were against His people to His cross. Every law He kept perfectly fulfilled on their behalf. And He put away all the sins of all of God's elect by the sacrifice of Himself. He lived their life, died their death, arose from the grave, and ever lives to make intercession for them, reigning, ruling, seated on the throne right now. He's overruling, ruling over and over, looking over this very meeting in which we sit. And then that same Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sent His Holy Spirit to this earth to regenerate every single person whom God chose, every single person whom Christ died for, to call them by His gospel, and they will hear His voice. He said they would. To bring them all, He said, bring My sons from afar, from the north, south. I'll say to the north, give up. I'll say to the south, bring My sons from afar. That everyone whom the Father gave Him shall come unto Him, shall believe Him. The people whom He died, I believe they will all be there in the end, that none of them is lost. Not possible. Because their hope and my hope, like Paul here in verse 15, he says, I have hope toward God. Their hope, all of God's people hope, their hope, Paul's hope and my hope toward God is this. My hope is built on nothing less, nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. Period. And verse 15 goes on to say, and we believe there's a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And I believe and I confess and all my hope toward God, a holy and righteous God who will by no means clear the guilty, who must punish sin. I believe those sins were paid for and punished in Christ Himself, allowing, enabling God to be just and justifier. And that God Almighty has completely justified me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that I will be in that resurrection of the just, because I will be in Christ, the just one. Because He shall stand for me in that great day. Oh, He'll stand for all of His people whom He stood for on this earth. He will stand for again in that great day and say, behold, I and the children. And the gates of heaven will open and the King of glory will come in, and His train are those who are connected to Him, His people. Yes, I must confess. How about you? That the way they call heresy is the way I worship, the God I worship. I worship the God of my Father and believe all things written in the law and in the prophets and have hope toward God. And I'll be in that resurrection of the just because of Jesus Christ, because of God's eternal purpose, because God's sovereign and God's almighty and powerful and cannot lie, God's sovereign, electing, mercy, grace, and purpose that He made in Christ Jesus before the world began is my hope and my confession. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You for the sure mercies of David. Same mercies that we enjoy, same mercies we rejoice in. That God hath made with us an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. And these mercies and this covenant are all in Christ the head of that covenant, surety of that everlasting covenant. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you that thou hast made these things known unto us, revealed them unto babes. And this is all our hope, all our plea, and our confession by thy grace. And so it is in the name of Christ we met here tonight, for the glory of God the Father, his blessed Son, and through the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed.